Welcome to the Student Athlete Preparation Podcast, brought to you by Simply Faster, the industry's leading sports technology provider and coach education platform. You can find all of their resources and products at simplyfaster.com. That's SimpliFaster.com. Today, I've got the privilege of sitting down with performance coach at the House of Athlete in Weston, Florida, Jordan Bush.
Welcome to the Student Athlete Preparation Podcast, hosted by high school strength and conditioning coach, Cody Hughes. This ain't your normal podcast, y'all. He's bringing real discussions about real strategies to improve the student athlete development and preparation process. New episodes every Friday with guests who are all about keeping it real. It'll warn you now, you might get your feelings hurt. The mics are on and the takes are hot. Enjoy this episode. Here's your host, Cody Hughes.
Jay Bush, what's going on, my man?
What's going on, brother? How you doing?
Man, I'm just living the dream, you know, as
I'm
they
the
say.
Same way, 100%.
Man, me and Jordan know each other from afar. He's a Mississippi grown boy, both from the South, and I know he's proud of that. But we've known each other through social media and, you know, been able to connect through mostly Twitter, and being able to watch him from afar, him watching me from afar, and I think you guys will get a lot of value out of this episode. Jordan's a bright coach. He connects with a lot of people. He works with some really high-level athletes and been doing this really well for a while. So, Jordan, man, welcome to the show.
Man, thank you for having me. I appreciate the opportunity to get here and talk to you a little bit and just talk about coaching and life and whatever else the conversation takes us.
That's right, man. So so tell us first, we need to get to know you a little bit. So Okay. Who is Jordan Bush? Where has he been and what's he doing now?
Man, Jordan Bush is a 26-year-old kid from Jackson, Mississippi. I went to the University of Southern Mississippi. I got my degree in exercise science. My major was my emphasis was in human performance. So I worked with a lot of, I guess you could say, like learning how the body moves functionally, you know what I mean? So yeah. I took all the X-Fizz 1, X-Fizz 2, biomechanics, all those classes while I was at Southern Miss. I also interned with the football, baseball, and track teams while I was still in school. So I would get to the complex at like 5 a.m. and have class at 8. So it was a crazy first 2 years. I kind of got the hang of it, but that's where I first really, really learned like discipline.
So like, who was the head strength coach when you interned?
When I first got there, it was Mark Smith.
Okay.
And it transitioned into, was Mark Smith was there my first 2 years, and then Zach Woodfin came my last 2 years.
Gotcha. Yeah, he's a high-level dude.
Like so. I said, for sure, he's at Missouri now, head strength coach of Missouri. So like I said, when I first, you know, that's when I first learned discipline, like the night before, learning to go to bed so you can get up at 5 a.m., well, be at the facility at 5. Not wake up at 5, be in the doors at 5 a.m. So that's where I learned discipline. Graduated from the University of Southern Mississippi, and I went back home to D1 sports training in Madison, Mississippi. I stayed there for 2 years, worked with a lot of high school, general population, you know, whatever.
Right.
I tell people all the time, that was the best job I ever had.
Really?
Only because it taught me to work with everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Like I used to do boot camps. I did working with 5 year olds that were just, you know, basically babysitting, you know, glorified babysitting.
Right.
And I learned to work with athletes. It was the best job I ever had because I learned to work with so many different age groups and people that had goals, people that didn't have goals. It was just a really, really good experience. During that time, I was actually the head baseball strength and conditioning coach at Northwest Rankin High School,
mm-hmm.
One of the larger high schools in the state of Mississippi. Did that for 2 years before I got a phone call from IMG Academy to come be a part of their 2020 combine training program. Got a call from my guy, Mo Wills, one of the best in the business mm-hmm. when it comes to NFL combine and NFL offseason training. Stayed there for a year. COVID happened. Was kind of trying to figure out what my next move was going to be. Then I got a phone call again from Mo Wells at House of Athlete and said, hey, man, let's do it again, part two. No hesitation, came down to Weston, Florida, probably about 15 minutes from Miami, and here I am now.
Man, that's awesome. You know, I don't think many young coaches would admit early that that general population job was so great for him.
It was great. It was honestly
now frustrating. Like, I bet you were like, man, God, this song is getting on my nerves.
Crazy part was, bro, I used to open every Tuesday and Thursday. So I would have to be there at 5 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
And I would literally wake up at 3:50, 4 o'clock, because the facility wasn't that far from where I live.
Mm-hmm.
So I would literally get there, open up, and there'd be two people there. And I'm like, I wasted my time. I did this. But not knowing, looking back at it now, I was like, it taught you discipline. Like, you had to be there. Lights on, doors open at 4:45. So, like, at the time, I didn't like it. I kind of hated it. But it taught me, like, hey, you got to get up. You got to be on time. You got to be prepared.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was dealing with soccer moms that really didn't want to be there. They would talk the whole hour.
Oh, yeah.
And it was just, like I said, it was just an experience. I wouldn't trade it for anything, because, like I said, I learned so many lessons working with children and adults that really don't have goals. They just want to come. I just want to be fit. You know, I've worked with 70-year-old people that say, I just want to be around for my grandkids. So I literally went from the youngest of the youngest to the as old as you can get, you know, I actually can still train. So it was a phenomenal experience. Like I said, I wouldn't trade it for anything, because it taught me so many lessons now, looking back now, that I wouldn't trade for the world.
Right, man. That's great. And then you go on to IMG, you know, you mm-hmm. coached alongside one of my homeboys and Nick Olmetti, you know, Nick's, yeah, we coached together at West Alabama. So,
this was literally right behind mine in IMG.
Yeah, for sure. And so I think this is a great way to talk about how you went from, you know, the college app, because at this point, if you look at it, you've hit all four parts, high school, college, kids, Gen Pop, IMG, which to me is like high school, kind of college, right? It's the in-between, right? The elite of the elite, the high
hybrid,
school.
The hybrid.
And now you've got Leonard Fournette and these guys training in a facility that you're at, training with these NFL guys. So let's touch on that a little bit of what you learned and what you've seen across the board, right? As far as you've trained all of them. You've trained every single category. Not many coaches get that opportunity. You know, they usually stay in the silo of high school, college, whatever. And I want to really hit on what you're seeing working with these NFL players and just some things that people need to realize that, you know, NFL players probably still need to be really excellent at the basics. Because I watch your IG feed, man. I watch your Twitter. You guys still, you chin up, you squat, you trap bar deadlift, you do plyos.
Exactly.
Right. Talk about what you see and how you evaluate these NFL guys and what goes into developing a program for somebody so elite.
For sure. So for sure, the first thing we make sure that we just want to get, let's say you have Leonard Fournette, for example, or anybody in the professional, you know, first thing is, are you healthy? You know what I mean? Like,
right.
How do you feel? Not only as a football player, how do you feel as an athlete, as a person? Like, are you in a space capacity to where you can train hard to mm-hmm. get you where you want to go? So that's the first thing. We check off the, you know, medical evals and make sure that they're where they need to be so we can start laying a foundation of the offseason or training so we can move forward into getting into the plyos and the heavy deadlifts, et cetera, et cetera. We just want to get you back moving well as a human first, mm-hmm. you know what I mean, as an athlete. So once we check that box off and make sure that they're where they need to be, then we can start. We have a foundation set. And we can just start building the house, as I call it. But the first thing is people, and I'll be the first guy to admit, like, when I was a younger coach, I only been coaching about 4 or 5 years. But when I was younger, I would see professional guys. YouTube is free. You know, you can get on YouTube mm-hmm. and type in NFL offseason. And I would see guys, you know, I would watch YouTube videos of guys saying, you know, I don't usually lift heavy anymore. You know, I'd like to just maintain. And I'm the complete opposite. And I tell people all the time, like, the off season is the time where you're going to get as strong as possible, because we've had guys that play for, you know, I'm not going to say the team, but we've had guys that say, we don't lift in season. We mm-hmm. do band work. We do a lot
in the
of
NFL.
Body. In the NFL, like, we do bands, we do body weight exercise. You know, we just maintain what we have. We're not trying to get stronger as the season goes on. So me listening to that, I'm baffled. You know, I'm like, are you serious right now? But it's multiple guys have told, you know, have come to us and told us that. So my thing is, okay, like, let's get you as strong as possible without getting you hurt, of course. So you can be durable week 17 when the playoffs come around. You know, mm-hmm. like, we want to build that foundation from the beginnings. And hopefully prayerfully it lasts all the way through that, through the end of that season. So for me, I'm just really, really big on foundation, like setting the foundation and keeping things like simple. Like I'm a big power clean guy. I'm not going to say I'm huge on Olympic lifts because I'm not the biggest fan of snatches, but I do love all cleans, hand cleans, power cleans. So I asked the guys, like, hey, when is the last time you've done it? It may be a 5-6 year NFL veteran, so I haven't done it since college. So I'm like, okay, do we really want to spend this offseason teaching the power clean again or reiterating, or can we do something different that's going to hit that same, I'm not going to say the same movement pattern, but can we get the same effect from a different exercise?
Right.
So the main thing with me is, like I said, I had to learn that NFL athletes are professional athletes, of course, but they want to be trained hard.
Okay.
Like they want to be pushed. They love to compete, and which is why I like how we do small groups, because you can get guys, one of my favorite exercises, if you follow me on Instagram, you know, is ISO holds. Just pull up ISO holds, and guys will compete like it's no tomorrow just to see who can hold it the longest. You know, so like I said, competition, just making sure we set the foundation with them and just making sure that they understand that we're here to help you. I'm just an assistant. You know, let me know what you can do. If something is bothering you, we won't do it. We'll figure something else out. We have some guys that don't like to squat with a barbell. Okay, we'll use a safety bar. Okay, if we can't use a safety bar, we'll do something to get the movement pattern accomplished for the goal that we're trying to set for you. So like I said, just keeping things simple is what I've learned has been the best thing for me to do as a coach.
Do you have to spend a lot of restoring time early? You know, like guys are beat up after a season. Like I've heard that one of the best things that these NFL guys can get is just restoration strategies, regeneration strategies to make sure their soft tissue injuries are down and just feeling like themselves again, you know?
We spend at least 45 minutes before we touch a weight, before we get on the field, just doing basic mobility stuff, like at least 45 minutes minimum, whether that's band work, soft tissue, whatever it's going to be. We make sure we hit that mobility. We have yoga for the athletes twice a week. We have a full-time AT on staff where we can make sure that they're getting treatment every single day. Like we give them all the resources and make sure that they understand how important it is for them to, you know, because if we're putting you out there and you're hurt, we're just only hurting you more,
right?
You know, as a coach. So we want to make sure that we let them know, like, hey, soft tissue injuries are real. Can some be prevented? No, but for the most part, if you're ahead of the game, you can definitely decrease the risk of injuries. So we definitely hit soft tissue, like I said, 45 minutes minimum before we do anything.
So talk to me about your strategies you've had with these pro guys. Because, you know, some pro guys you work with have some serious ego and very but for a good reason, the best in the world at what they do. Like, let's not act like we all don't have ego. Come on now.
Exactly. Like, for sure. No, 100%.
If we're pretty good at what we do, we're going to have some of that, but earning trust, you know, earning respect, showing these guys, showing a Leonard Fournette or like some of these combine guys you have and some of these big time vetted players that are established, to look at Jordan Bush and go, I trust Jordan in my training because X, Y, Z. How do you connect with these guys?
For one, you just have to be personable. You know what I mean? Like, hey, man, how are you? How's your family? You know, how do you feel? Did you eat breakfast this morning? Like having genuine, real conversations.
Yeah.
Nothing is forced. You know what I mean? And guys can tell when you're trying to force something or when you're trying to come in like the big shot, acting like you know everything. Like, I guarantee you, they'll sniff that out within a week minimum.
No doubt.
They can figure it out, like, hey, this guy's just in here tooting his own horn. He thinks he knows everything. He's talking over my head. He's using all this terminology I don't know. Like, bro, I just want to train.
Yeah.
I just want to get better. I just want to get stronger.
Yeah.
I want to get faster. So like I said, the main thing is just showing them like, I'm a real person just like you are. And my job is to help you, you know? And once you set that foundation and the guys know that they can depend on you. Like, I've had guys reach out to me like, hey, man, we don't train on Saturdays here at HLA. You know, well, we do, but whatever. So I've had guys like, hey, man, can I come in on Saturday? And I could say, you know, nah, we don't train on Saturdays. Or I could say, yeah, I'm not doing anything else, man. Come on, let's do it. You know, just being a person that they can depend on outside of football, outside of training. Hey, man, you need to ride somewhere. Like, hey, whatever the case may be. Like, just being a real person, guys appreciate that. and they respect it more than they do, hey, let's do three sets of five on 315 on, you know, they respect it more than they do what you can do for them as a trainer, because they understand the value you bring to them as a person.
Yeah, that's huge, man. And I tell me if I'm wrong, but in the few instances I've had with high level athletes is if you show that, like, I'm here for the right reasons, they're going to show you that they're a real person too. You know, like, they're not fitting to just flex on you and say, like, you know who I am? Like, now, I've had a few of those experiences. I'm not going
to
lie.
I have to.
You know who I am? You really, okay. But that's really refreshing to hear that some guys that they don't, you know, they don't try to make themselves feel big time, especially if you have something they can, that you can offer of value, right? You have a problem that you can solve. Like, hey, I want my job is to keep you in, to get to the next contract. That's the whole point, right? Like, let me get you to the next contract. And people, I think that's huge.
And people ask me all the time, like my friends and family, like, how is it training XYZ? How are they as a person? Like, they're human just like anybody else.
Yeah.
Of course, they come with a huge price tag being a professional athlete, but they're human. You know, and I don't look at them any different than I would look at a high school player. Now, of course, the training is a little bit different, but I look at them the same way I would look at anybody else. Like, hey, you're a person, you're an athlete, you're a football player. You know, and that's the order that we go in, you know, that we try to make sure that they understand, like, I care about you as a person more than I care about you as a Super Bowl champion or a All Pro, whatever. Like, I care about you as a person. Like I said, when guys realize that you honestly, genuinely care about them, they appreciate that way more than anything else.
Right. I want you to give me, because honestly, I don't know if any of my listeners even know what House of Athlete is, you know, like who owns it, how it got started. Give us a little history on what you guys do.
So House of Athlete is owned by NFL veteran receiver Brandon Marshall. He opened the facility I'm at now in October. We're in Western Florida. Like I said, just south of Miami, maybe about 15, 20 minutes, depending on traffic. Right. Well, with traffic, it'd be an hour sometimes. but he wanted to open a facility where pro athletes and college athletes, high school athletes can come train and feel like, hey, I'm not at my facility, but this is just like, if not better than my facility. So we have a full-time AT. We have cold tub, hot tub, steam room, sauna. We have the whole nine when it comes to recovery. We also offer, you know, we have a fuel bar where guys can come get post-workout smoothies. We have a full-time chef on staff, you know, where guys get their, you know, get their meals. They can get breakfast, lunch, and dinner. We have literally everything at our disposal when it comes. We call it the one-stop shop.
Yeah, man.
So we have literally everything you need. We have a state-of-the-art weight room, all brand-new Sonorex equipment. We have one of the only two D-walls in the country. I'm not sure if you know what the D-wall is. Mm-mm. It's basically like a huge wall that you can basically, like, you step on the platform. It's built in with like a vertical, it can track your vertical jump, how many footsteps you're taking, and like it tracks everything. It's so cool. We use that for our NFL combine when we did our vertical jumps, stuff like that. It's one of the nicest pieces of equipment I've ever seen as far as on the technology side. But it's called a D-wall, and we use that. We like one of the only two facilities in the country that has one. So like I said, we have literally everything at our disposal to make sure that anybody that comes in the facility is successful. And what people don't also, sometimes people don't know that we do train general population. That's not in my realm of work that I do, but we still have like general population. We have memberships. We have an altitude room also, which is super cool. Like, you can change the altitude 1 minute you're in, you know, Miami, Florida, and you can change the setting and be in Denver, Colorado the next 2 minutes.
Yeah.
So it's super cool, you know, especially for guys that play, you know, in Denver or high altitudes, they can come and work out in our facility to where the temperature is set up to wherever it is in the country. Mm-hmm. You can do Australia, you can do wherever in the world you want to go to the temperature and the altitude. You can set the room up to where it fits that setting right now. So it's so cool. It's super cool. He's done a great job putting people in positions and making sure Brandon's done a great job to make sure that he gives us everything we need to be successful as coaches and make sure the athletes have everything they need to be successful as athletes.
Yeah, man, that's great. You know, you don't find many facilities who can do it all, you know, the one-stop shop and have the availability to get all the, I mean, especially having a full-time chef and full-time AT on staff. I mean, full-time strength coaches, full-time.
Yes.
I mean, I guess when you take an athlete like Brandon Marshall with the career that he had, I guess his vision was, I want to provide something I didn't have when I came through.
Exactly. And that's, he talks about that all the time, especially with our combine guys. Like, he was telling them, like, we had combine meetings every Wednesday, and he would tell those guys, like, if I had this back when I was coming out, there's no telling where I would have got drafted, how far I could have gone, et cetera, et cetera. He was telling guys, like, we were having a conversation. He was like, man, I would go to Miami to train, but then I would have to go fly to California to see my doctor. I would have to go back to Chicago to do this, to do it. Like, but I want to bring everything that I needed in one place, in one facility.
Right.
And it's, we have a full-time doctor on staff. Like, we have literally everything that you need to be successful. It's literally no excuses.
Well, good for Brandon for being so open-minded, because I feel like there's some professional athletes and even coaches that feel like they know everything, you know, and the fact that he's like, I want to bring in the highest level to provide value. And I mean, just from a surface level, I don't know what pro athlete wouldn't want to come train with you. I mean, I'm seeing guys from Auburn, Anthony Schwartz and Noah Igbinoghene and these guys train with you. You know, I'm an Auburn fan, so that's why I caught caught my eye. I thought that was cool, man. You get to just work alongside some people that are really in the public eye. And I think that's amazing. Let's segue a little bit to combine training. And it's one thing I feel like gets butchered. Also gets, you know, a lot of people want to talk about the performance coach that sells foot ladders of speed and sells all these gimmicks and stuff that's football and sports specific that really aren't. But I want to hear you go on a rant right here and tell me about why combine training is done wrong and what and what really the biggest like points that people miss in combine training.
Well, for one, I tell people all the time, and I've said this since I've started in the realm of combine training, like, we are literally with the athletes for 8 to 10 weeks, maybe at the most, depending on what opt-outs with this year and stuff like that. It is a very, very small window, but I think it's the most important window a football player has. You know what I mean? So you've been playing football since you were 5, 6, 7, you know, however you old. Now you may be 20, 21, and you're with us for 3 months at the most. But it's the most important 3 months you will ever, because you're training for a job interview, right? That's basically what the NFL combine is, a job interview. You're going against 255 other players that get invited to the combine, and you're basically putting on a show as to why you should be drafted ahead of someone else. That's basically what it is.
Right.
So, of course, we do the 40-yard dash and the bench press test, vertical jump. You know, you get your measurement, height, weight, stuff like that. I've done combine training for 2 years. This is my second combine class I've done. And I think the main thing that people fail to miss is just actually doing real training aside from we're going to teach the 40. Okay, but are you in the weight room? You know, are you getting guys stronger? Like, yeah, we're going to bench press, but are you hitting the other accessory exercises that you should be doing to complement the bench press? So I think a lot of guys get carried away in going into, well, hey, we're going to be so specific in the 40, so specific in the bench, so specific in the vertical, that they forget to hit the other areas of what the NFL combine really is. Yeah. You still have to go run routes if you're a receiver. You still have to throw the ball if you're a quarterback. You still have to go catch the pass, you know, if you're a receiver, tight end. Running backs still have to do all these drills. So I think people miss out on the 40 is probably the most important thing when you think about the NFL combine, but you still have to be as strong as possible. Because, you know, you just finished the season and you have to go into another season. You know, you're going to go into camp, you know, NFL preseason camps or whatever, they're going to have them. But you have to look the part also. Like, people want to see what you've been doing in the last 8 to 10 weeks, the last time they saw you play a game. Yeah. So, you know, you kind of go missing, if you want to say, for a while, and then you pop up at the combine. It's like, okay, this guy's been lifting. He put on 10 pounds. Yeah. You know, he dropped his body fat percentage a little bit. He looks a little leaner, you know, so people look at all that, you know, all the time. I think a lot of guys, when they declare for the combine, they're not really sure what they're getting themselves into, which is, like I said, YouTube, Google is free. Use it, you know, do your research, learn what the combine process is actually about. Because to be honest, I think it's more mental than physical.
Sure.
You know, you're going through 8 to 10 weeks of 5 days a week of training. You know, you're burnt out. You're tired of learning how to set up for the 40. You've bench pressed 2-3 times a week. You're burnt out. You're sore. You're tired. You haven't seen your family in a while. But you have to think long term. Like, okay, I'm setting myself up for my life.
Yeah.
If I can lock in for the next 8, 10, 12 weeks, I can set my family up for a lifetime. Mm-hmm. Just doing the little things right. I think, like I said, guys get, you know, I've seen it done right and I've seen it done wrong.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just being honest. But the guys that do it right are the guys that's the most successful. You know, they go perform well. They go have a great rookie season. Some of the guys that do it wrong, if you're blessed enough to just be a gifted football player, you can still, you know, slip through the cracks and be good. But, you know, that's very rare. Most of the guys that do it wrong, you know, like, hey, this guy may not. And of course, you want everybody to be successful, but you have those some guys that just won't do it right, that won't buy into the process and trust that the foundation that's being built is for them.
Yeah.
You know? So I've seen it done right and wrong.
You know, it's a different dynamic when you're working with pros, you know, like
for sure.
There's not a team. You're no longer working with really team chemistry. You're not working in a team dynamic. At the end of the day, like, man, it's balls in your court. You're here. If you're not working hard, man, that's on you. You know, like there ain't nothing else we can do for you. And I just wonder what it takes for these guys to truly, like, one, pick a facility like House of Athlete to go train at, you know, and I guess it comes down to relationships and who they trust.
I was just about to say relationships go further than anything. I feel like if you can be in the middle of nowhere, if guys know that, hey, I can go have I'm going to have a relationship with JB. I'm going to have a relationship with Mo. I'm going to go wherever they are, you know, and that's really important when guys decide to pick a facility where they want to train. Like, do you have a relationship with them, or do you just want to get the number one guy because he's going to make you look good as a coach?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
You have
that's
to
a great
have
point.
A relationship with them, you know? So that's the biggest thing for me. Like, so, I know the guys that we did combine with now, I could call, hey man, how you doing? And it's a genuine conversation.
Right.
Versus something being forced.
Good. I want us to go a little deeper here because, you know, my audience is mostly high school coaches and the high school realm and college as well. You're noticing a lot of camps pop up here and there. And, you know, like, for example, this summer, I mean, our guys that are getting looks and getting offers, because the terminology this day and age in football is so different. You hear the word offer, that doesn't, like, what I've been told is that doesn't mean it's committable. And I was like, what is that? What does that mean? He offered. Right. Well, if it ain't on paper, right? That doesn't necessarily mean that offer basically means like, I'm interested in you.
Exactly.
Yeah. Very interested in you. Right. So like you could play, you could possibly play here, not locking that in yet, you know? So
for sure. Yeah.
What I see my guys, especially we have a couple guys with like 16 plus offers here at MA and they're all talking about, we got to go to the camp and we got to perform well. And I mean, and one of those things is the 40, like,
exactly.
There's so many coaches that I think aren't teaching it really well and how to develop it and all that. We're just going to use the 40 alone. I want to hear you guys' process, your process, House of Athletes' process of teaching, and what all goes into, like, what like, how much time do you spend on certain aspects of it? What part do you believe needs the most time being spent on? And how can you maximize your 40 time by training it correctly?
Okay. Well, first off, I would definitely say I got to give a shout out to my guy, Mo Wells, because he literally sat me down. Like, we did IMG together last year. He literally sat me down and broke the 40-yard dash down to me. I was a coach. I thought I knew how to coach it, how to teach it. He was like, no, that's all wrong. This is how it's done. And I was learning. It was literally a learning experience for me, because I look back now, I'm like, man, I taught these guys all the way wrong.
Hey, man, we all been there. We've been there.
You know, this sucks, you know, but I would definitely say the main thing is you have to have the right mechanics first. You know, like, it's more than just getting out there running as fast as you can. Like, the setup is one of the most important things that people don't really pay attention to. Like, you have to be set up. You have to have the right shin angles. You have to have the right spacing in your feet, depending on if you're a size 8 or if you're a size 14. Like, it's different.
Well, let's break that down. Let's unpack that a little bit. Let's unpack that a little bit. Starting at the start.
Okay.
If you're going to teach it, what do you see? And if I've never ran the 40 before, I want you to walk me through this a little bit for our audience.
Okay. So we have the four L's. This is, and hopefully Mo won't get on me
for sharing it. Yeah.
We have the four L's. All right. We have the lock, load, lift, lunge. Okay. All right? So you lock your hands and your feet in the ground. All right. You get set up. You know, everybody's setup is a little different. Again, depending on what size shoe you wear,
okay,
how tall you are, everybody's going to be a little different. But you get your placement. It's kind of hard to explain it sitting down, you know what I mean? But
sure.
You get your placement, how far you need to be away from the line, depending on what is your power leg, quote unquote, which leg you have it behind, which leg you have in front. Most people that are right-handed will have their right foot back.
Okay.
They just feel like it's more powerful to push off that right side. You lock the line, you make sure your feet are set. Obviously you're running in cleats, so you lock your feet and your hands on the ground. All right, you load the line, which is basically mean, I know you've seen people like roll into the 40. We do that before we actually get ready to take off. So we load the line. That's our second step.
Okay.
You lift your hips. All right. You bring your hips into a good where your shin angles are lined up, you know, in coordination with how tall you are. You know, everybody's different.
Sure.
So some people have a lower shin angle. Some people have a taller shin angle. We lock, load, we lift, and then we launch out. All right. So lock, load, lift, launch, the four L's of the 40-yard dash. I guess you say the starting phase, the setup phase, quote unquote. Once, you know, what they prefer, the acceleration phase to be, whether that's 10 yards, 12 yards, everybody's different. You know, I would say anywhere between 10 and 13, head down, quote unquote. You know, okay. Everybody teaches it different, the terminology is different. And then you get into the drive phase and then you push through with the max velocity. So max velocity, you should start, I guess you could say, coming up, looking straight ahead, anywhere between 15 and 20 yards. And then you finish that max velocity all the way through the line. So when we teach the 40, a lot of people want to teach run to the 40. You know, we run through the 40.
Yeah.
You should be decelerating about 60 yards, you know,
mm-hmm.
into the run, you know, because like I said, everybody does it a little different. We teach run through the line, don't run to it.
Yep.
And like I said, the main thing is just learning everybody's running mechanics are different. You're going to be uncomfortable, but like we teach guys, you only have to be uncomfortable for 3 seconds, you know, which is the startup. You're holding the, you know, locking mm-hmm. into the line. And before you take off, you only have to be uncomfortable for 3 seconds. Learning the right shin angles and the way your body works as far as launching yourself forward is what gets guys where they see you. I've saw a crazy thing on Twitter where some guy ran like a 10-2, 10-yard split. And I'm like, this is not real, but okay, whatever. just seeing guys like the, depending on your position, everybody wants to see that 10-yard split, you know, then like I said, for most skill positions, they want to see that 20-yard split. And then the 20 to 40, when you're hitting that max velocity, we had a guy, Eric Stokes, a cornerback at Georgia, went first round. He ran a 4.25 twice in the 40. I think he had the fastest 40-yard dash this year. But I think it was Eric, then Anthony Schwartz, that you mentioned earlier.
Yep.
Those guys literally burned the turf up. It's so not only impressive to see, but it's like, man, that guy was moving about 26 miles per hour. This is insane.
Yeah.
You know, those guys literally locked into the process. They were already fast. And I hate when people try to take credit. Like, I made that guy fast. No, you didn't. He would be fast whether he worked with me or worked with a guy down the street that has never trained anybody before. They had God gift ability to be fast.
Right.
The only thing we do is just try to fine tune a little bit of their mechanics and just continue to make sure we don't put too much load on them too early. Because one thing you don't want to happen is guys peak too soon.
Yeah.
You know, you want to peak at the event. You know, as track is the same way. You want to peak at your event, not too soon. So
mentioning like the competitive drive, because if there's one quality in pro athletes that's better than mm-hmm. anybody in the world, is that they compete.
For sure.
Right. They hate losing. Like, they're going to get after each other. And that's something that you just can't. It's really hard to draw back. Now, mm-hmm. when it comes to pro athletes, would you agree? You've got to talk them into doing less more than doing more.
1,000%.
I figured, right?
A 1,000%. Like, we've had Noah, I can never say it.
Igbinogany.
I've never said it right. Is one of the pound for pound most athletic freaks I have ever seen in my life.
So he played at Hewitt Trustful. I don't know, but my homeboy Brandon Herring, you may know him on Twitter.
Yeah, he told me about, he's like, man, like, yeah, he, listen. Noah is a freak at one of the, his, both of his parents were in the Olympics. Like, he's a freak athlete.
Yep.
Right. So sometimes I have to pull back on Noah. Like, we're doing heavy trap bar, heavy cleans. He's like, hey, put 315 on the bar. I'm like, all right, Noah, like, we know you're strong, right? Let's tone it back a little bit. You know, hey, I can clean more. I can do more than that. You know, we have other guys that's doing just as much. He's like, I'll add another 5 on the bar, put 10 on there. And it's like, hey, all right, let's tone it back a little bit. You know, like, you definitely have to pull back more, you know, because for one, I just feel like that one more rep is the rep where somebody gets hurt. I've seen it happen.
Yeah.
Let me do one more. Put another 10 on the bar or bench press and squat and whatever. You know, that's the rep that gets somebody hurt. So just being a coach, you have to know when to pull guys back and say, hey, that's enough for today.
You know what I mean? No doubt.
We'll get after it again tomorrow. Like, you just have to be a person. You don't have to be forcible. It's like, hey, all right, guys, that's enough. That's enough for today. Go get in the cold tub, you know, et cetera. So, right. Just being that person that they listen to and they can trust. All right, JB said it's enough. That's enough. You know what I mean? So we're big on that. Like, you have to pull back a lot. I've had to, being here working with so many high level guys, I've had to pull back a lot.
Yeah, so guys need to, I want you guys to understand, like, when you're working with an out level of athlete that can produce force and outputs on crazy levels, mm-hmm. that takes a huge toll on the body. And
it's so taxing.
They've got to know that this elite athlete's 25, 30 minutes of work output-wise may blow another a regular college athlete's body of mm-hmm. work over 2 days. So exactly. It's going to require a lot more recovery because, man, you just smoked that thing. Think about like a really high level race car pushing the RPMs. That requires a ton of energy, right?
Exactly.
A ton of energy. And then that's going to, you're also running the risk of something going wrong when you're that powerful. I've noticed mm-hmm. that with a lot of athletes that sometimes get hurt. Like, dude, yeah, My guy that's not very fast and not very twitchy in the ninth grade, they're never hurt because they don't have any force output, man. Why do you think that little kids can run around and play all the time and they're like, they could just keep going? Like, man, they don't produce any force yet. You got your guys that are super twitchy. Those are the mm-hmm. guys that are more than likely probably going to cramp on you, right?
Exactly.
Probably going to, you know, tweak a hamstring, you know, tweak a quad, you know, something mm-hmm. like that. Start getting some issues there just because they're so explosive. So guys, understand exactly. when you're working with guys that are super gifted, you know, super twitchy, that comes with a risk as well. And you have exactly. to be able to control that. And especially with your volume, right? How much you're doing of what, whether it's jumping, plyometrics, lifting.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing that's great is that you guys are educating them and have these resources like a chef, PT, or AT, cold tub, you have all these recovery modalities and they're like, okay, the actual work being done is very calculated, but then, hey, we have to go recover to see anything from it, or I'm going exactly. to be taking away from your value to whatever franchise you're playing for, because if you're not exactly. available, you're for not sure. valuable.
At all. Exactly. You're 100% correct.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, you know, that's such a good topic you can talk about from the high school all the way down. And I asked this to all my guests, Jordan, and you've been in this thing. Mm-hmm. And I know you get frustrated on some things you see on social media, just like I do. And I asked this question to all my guests. Jordan, what do you hate about the strength conditioning profession?
Oh, that's a tough. I can go on for it. This could be a whole other episode. I would definitely say glorified overworking yourself.
Okay.
I absolutely hate as coaches.
Yeah.
I hate that. I'm the first guy in. I get in at 3:45. So what? You know, my thing is, I think I made a tweet maybe about 2 months ago now. And I said, the person that wakes up at 5 a.m. that doesn't get started actually working until 8 is no more better than the person that woke up at 8 and start working out and start doing their job at 8:30.
Yeah.
Like, just because you wake up early does not mean you got more work done than the person that woke up later than you.
Yeah.
Or just because you leave the facility at 9 o'clock, but you were sitting around talking for 3 hours, but you take a picture of, you know, it's dark outside. I'm, you know, first one in, last one out.
That's so whack.
But you've been doing nothing for 3 hours. Like, that does not, you know, I'm the type of person, as a coach, I don't want to train all day. Mm-hmm. I just don't. You know what I mean? So if I can get in at 6 a.m., which to me is not really super early,
yeah,
and be done at 2 o'clock every day, I would do that literally for the rest of my life, then try to work at 5 a.m., and then I'm done at 9 every day. I don't have time to sleep. I don't have time to talk to my family. I don't have time to be an actual human outside of a coach. I think I'd be miserable. And I've done that before. I've been that coach that, hey, it's 4:30 in the morning. I'm at the facility. Y'all still in the bed. I've done that before.
Yeah.
And the older I've gotten, I've realized like that is, it doesn't equate to anything.
Yeah.
You know, like you're not getting anything accomplished. And I would definitely say that. And on top of that, I would just say that the value of a strength and conditioning coach, as far as, you know, people glorify not making a lot of money. And I'm like, it's a gray area when you talk about that. But I think, you know, you are professional. This is a professional industry. You know, somebody can't just wake up one day and say, I want to go train professional athletes. I want to go train high school athletes. I'm going to train. Like, this is a profession. We sacrifice, you know, time in school and mm-hmm. we get all these certifications to be looked at as a professional. So I definitely would say, you know, understanding your value as a coach, knowing what you bring to the table. I would just say glorifying the wrong things, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
I like
man.
To glorify the athletes, you know, not me getting to work at 3 o'clock in the morning. That doesn't do anything for them. They don't care what time you get there.
You know,
so I would say that'll be my two biggest.
Yeah, yeah. And we can hit on both of those. And the not getting paid thing, you know, I don't see coaches who get paid well talk about that. Because they don't need to. And the next exactly, thing is the only sure. people that are talking about that is because they don't feel validated any other way. Young coaches exactly. come in super hot, a lot of energy, fiery, ready to roll. I'm talking about myself here because I was that guy.
I was the same one.
And I didn't make much money, but I had to try. I had to talk everybody into thinking I was worth my salt. So what am exactly. I going to pull? You know, I'm training, you know, I'm doing this for this, for the love of the game, and get out of here. Because here's the deal. You know who was sitting at the house? My wife. Who need food on the table, bills paid. Sure. We have future goals to hit, vacations we want to go on. And, man, that's part of the reason why I left the college game is, you know, and I said this in a former episode that and one of these episodes I'm going to go into my full story, and I want people to hear my real story, get real transparent with people. If that episode's already come out by then you've already heard it. But the reason I left the college game is not because I was like, man, like, blah, 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 you got to sell your soul to a head coach. No, I saw it because I wasn't managing my time well, and I saw my marriage going down. That's real.
That's real.
That wasn't a priority for me, and I thought I had to make a change. And big ups to those who make it happen at that level, because it's very demanding. You know,
I commend you for seeing that as a coach. Like, hey, I'm still young, but like I have a wife, you know, and I know you have a son now, but it's like I have a marriage. You know, at the end of the day, if I'm not coaching anymore, my wife's still going to be there.
Yep.
You know, so you definitely have to take care of the most important things first, you know, which is I commend you because I've seen guys get burnt out. You know, I've seen that, you know, get divorced. You know, I've missed my son's last 9 birthdays. I'm like, that's not fun.
That's crazy, you know, man. I can't even think about that, bro.
And that's one thing that me and just working with Leonard a little bit, just talking to him about, you know, Bruce Arians, you know, the way his philosophy on his coaches, he was telling me like, you know, they call him BA, of course, like BA will tell his staff, like, I will fire you for missing your kid's birthday before I fire you from being a bad coach.
Yeah.
You know, and to me, that's like speaks volume as because a lot of people say like, it goes so quick. You'll look up and your kid, I don't have children yet, but you'll look up and your children are 10 years old. And it's like, where did the time go? Like I've missed.
Well, I mean, you and I are same in age. I can blink and remember being a senior in high school.
Exactly. Same here.
You know,
same here.
Like so it doesn't feel that long ago.
Imagine. Exactly. Yeah. So I commend guys that like you, you know, that took to say like, I got to take a step back and understand, like, I have a family. I have, you know, values outside of strength and conditioning. This is my passion. I love it. But at the same time, like I said, I have a family. I have a wife that is looking for me to be a husband.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So like I said, I've seen guys get burnt out. And I hate to see it, for sure. I honestly do. But you have to know when to say when, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and what's crazy about this being backwards is that once I decided to get priorities in order, Now, I'm still a work in progress, guys. I'm not claiming I know it. I just saw that I had a problem. And once I started to address that problem, and I'm still addressing that problem, everything else started to get better. You know, when you have your priorities in order. And you know what, man? It is so refreshing to hear, since you work directly with Leonard Fournette, and that, you know, because you see things on the internet about BA saying those things, but coming from a player that, you know,
that plays for him.
Leonard, I mean, this is just from me. This is what, for me, from being a fan from afar, sees that Leonard Fournette was this big, prolific college player, and he got in the league kind of disappeared. But he shows up on this Super Bowl winning Tampa Bay Bucks team, and now he's, everybody's saying old Leonard Fournette. Well, sometimes the environment that you're in can mean everything.
Everything. He raves about Tom Brady. He raves about AB. All those guys, like, what you see from them, he's like, that's exactly the type of person they are. Like, he was like, you know, doing Zoom meetings now. He was like, Tom would get on the Zoom meeting, like, hey, guys, it's time to run it back. Like, we got to do this again.
Yeah.
You know, I enjoyed it. Let's do it again. And he was like, as a leader, and like that, that makes the entire team better.
Yeah.
Because they, hey, he's right. Like, let's, why can't we do it again? You know, so just working with, you know, numerous guys that I worked with from the Steelers, you know, I've worked with guys from the Vikings. They all say the same thing. Like, the leader of the team makes everyone else go.
Yeah.
So if you have a dominant person, and I'd say leaders lead from the front, you know, you can't lead from behind, you know, and some leaders are vocal. Some leaders are more, you know, prove it with their actions.
Mm-hmm.
But when you have somebody else that's going to make you better, that's not going to let you cheat. If you do cheat, you hate the feeling of, man, I let not only myself, but I let my team down.
Yeah.
And that's what I love so much about professional athletes. Like, they're still human, but these guys have a chip on their shoulder when it comes to who they are and who they play for, you know, their teams, of course. It's so refreshing to see, you know, I love working with professional athletes because you see a whole different side of them versus what you see on TV, versus what you hear on the media. Like, you're dealing with real people. So it's so refreshing to see, man.
Yeah, man. That's great to hear too. And for the, like, I'm sure there's parents and high school coaches that may have never got to have conversations with these kind of athletes. And it's really cool to hear Jordan talk about it, but these guys want to win. Like, you may think, like, oh, you've gotten to that second contract. You're making generational changing money. That's it. Like, no, like, that's not the end. We want to win. You hear Tom, like, Tom Brady's got enough money for you and I to live for the rest of our lives if we really wanted to. But it's deeper than that for him. His purpose is deeper than that. Not, but back to it, money's still important. Let's not play the game. If Tom Brady was not getting paid, he would not be doing this.
Exactly.
Straight up. Like, understand that that's an important part of our society and how our lives work. But the fact that these guys still want to win, because everybody wants to talk about, especially with Major League Baseball guys, you know, I'm a baseball guy, that, like, once they get to the professional, that they stop playing hard because it's only about me. It's only about getting my check. It's only about getting my stats. I think you'd be surprised if you got inside the clubhouse to find out that that's actually much different.
For sure. 100. And that's the same. That's like the same thing I tell about the time. Like, before I got into working with pros, I had no clue, you know, like I said, I would think, man, this guy really doesn't work that hard. He's just trying to maintain. These guys will get after it. They'll get after each other. Like, I've seen guys get on each other. Like, hey, man, you can do more than that. You're better than that. You know, just the small things of being on time. So, like, we do small groups here, right? So we have a 7 o'clock group as our first group.
Mm-hmm.
We had a guy show up late one day, you know, for whatever reason. A guy was like, hey, you just cost yourself $5,000. And when you think about it, you're like, that's true. Like, that's a fine. That's coming out your
next man.
Check, you know, for being late. And I'm like, and you think about it, you're like, that's insane. But small things, like doing the little things right, being on time, being where you're supposed to be. And it's like, that goes so much deeper than just playing sports. That's just life.
You know, that's a great point.
I love to be around those guys, man.
In college and stuff, you might get up, down, you might have to run a stadium, but in the NFL, I'm just going to take your money. That's wild. Like, I remember being at Mississippi State interning and on the scale, like, man, I wish I still had the picture of this, because this is so powerful. Like, dudes would weigh in and like, looking on the wall, it says, be a pro today with the NFL shield. And it showed breakdowns of, like, If you're not weighed in, but this many, whatever, it costs you this. If you're late to a meeting, it costs you $10,000 on average. If you're late to this, late to a practice, like ain't no running, ain't no up downs. Like I just take your money, and that that's a different animal, right?
That motivates you to be where you're supposed to be and be on. I don't know what will.
Like, right.
Literally, you can be getting paid and see, hey, my check is short. $20,000. Why? Well, you were late for four meetings. You know
what? That's crazy, man.
That's insane. But like I said, listening to these guys talk, and I think that's why professional athletes, you know, and it is the off season, so it's not like we're not closing the door if you're late.
But sure.
Tell them, like, all right, the season is coming up. Like, let's start getting into those good habits of, because me right now, I'm not going to find you. But hey, you walk into the first meeting, the training camp late, that's a fine.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So we try to instill the small habits into them now. Even like guys like Jarvis Landry, like working with him a little bit, the jug machine, for example, he will not leave the facility until he catches 100 passes. He will not leave. He could be here for 4 hours. He's not going to get in his car and drive off the premises until he catches 100 passes every single day on the jug machine. And it's like, this is insane. But if you watch him play, he doesn't drop passes.
Yep.
I wonder why.
Guys, unmatched work ethic, man. That's the thing.
When it comes to
these high school guys, man. Like,
I love to watch it.
You don't understand the amount of work these guys put in. Like, you don't understand. Right. I don't understand it. I want to be around it more. Like, if there's anything I want to do is take my guys, put them in a car, take them to Tuscaloosa, take them to Auburn, drive them to Tennessee, and watch the Titans practice, train, and realize, do you actually understand the level of work these dudes put in that you don't know about? You know, I'm not saying it's not important, and we touched on it earlier about, like, we've got to be able to keep these guys from burning out, doing too much. But that's because they already have this work ethic instilled that is unmatched. I mean, it's like some of these high school kids talk this talk, man, I'm league bound. Like, bro, you missed two workouts last week. Like,
right. How? Like,
you might be good enough to be good here.
Right.
You might be good enough to good in college.
Exactly.
But it's going to catch up with you at some point. It's going to cost you something.
It's going to catch up with you. And I tell, like, you don't know hard work until you're in that level.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say, like, of course, high school athletes work hard for sure. But if you're not leaving the facility, if you're saying, hey, I cannot leave this facility until I do this. Hey, I cannot go home until I do this. I cannot, you know, whatever. Then you haven't seen hard work.
Yeah.
You know, I thought, and the crazy part that I love, they make me work harder.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I tell myself, you're not going to bed until you finish this program for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
You have to have every little thing done. Every box needs to be checked before you can go to sleep, because those guys are dependent on you.
Yeah, man.
And if they're dependent on me, it's a responsibility, which is what I love about working with professional athletes. It's a responsibility before it's a passion, but it's also a responsibility, because the thing is, if these guys get hurt, who they fall back on? Who were they training with in the offseason?
Yeah,
where were they training at? Who were they working with? So it's a responsibility. And, you know, everybody wants to work with pros, and I want to work with pros. You better know what you're doing and what you're talking about before you get into that realm.
Yeah,
you
have to. That's huge.
It's non-negotiable. You have to know what you're talking about before you get into that, because if anything goes wrong, I've heard crazy stories about, you know, trainers or whatever that they call themselves working with athletes, they get hurt. The general manager is calling them like, hey, what were you guys doing? Can you send me your program that you guys had in the offseason? Like, crazy stuff like that. So you better make sure you're crossing your T's and dotting your I's when you're working with high-level athletes, because it can definitely go right, and I've definitely seen it go wrong. You know what I mean? So it's definitely a responsibility.
Didn't the NFL just talk about now that if you get injured off-site, that it ain't on them? They're not covering jack.
Yeah, they don't have to pay you. So if a guy gets hurt, and I saw the rule and my mouth really dropped. I was like, this is real.
Yeah.
You know, like if you get hurt off site, I forgot who the guy was that I think he tore his Achilles or something like that. Mm-hmm. I forgot the injury. They were like, hey, that's on you. You were training off site. We don't have to. And I think it was like $10-20 million or something he's losing out on.
Yeah.
Just getting hurt. Obviously, we all know what happened, but it's like, that is crazy. It can cost you crazy money. You know, which is why I tell guys, like, educate yourself on these coaches, like ask them questions, make sure that they know what they're doing, you know, so it's super important.
It's a great opportunity for guys like you, because this is what's going to happen in the trickle down effect. A guy goes off site, they're going to train because most guys have their guy. And then something happens and the organization goes, that's on you, that player's going to turn around and go, well, I'm going to sue these guys because I got the money and the means and I'm getting my money.
For sure.
It's just a matter from who. So now that's going to keep you guys in check as far as trainers go, but it gives places like House of Athlete where they already know we do things right. That's just going to help us separate in the market. Like guys are going to want to train here instead of wanting to go train with Joe Schmo, who claims he knows how to make you faster on some parachute trainers and some foot ladder behind the back sand training stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Right, for sure.
So that's really cool. Well, Jordan, man, we've been going at it for about an hour. We could talk forever.
We can keep going.
I know it, no doubt. And I really appreciate what you're doing for the industry, especially in the private market. There's a lot of private coaches out there. We see that we get really discouraged, but the way you guys are doing it down there, man, I think you guys are doing it well. And I think you guys are getting a full head of steam and really rolling things out. Keep posting great content, guys, down there, and because I really want to see more of it. I think the industry needs more of it. I definitely will. Before we bounce, let everybody know where they can find you, man. If they want to reach out and holler at you about combine training, if they want to talk about, you know, anything we talked about on the show, or they just want to chop it up with you and learn a little more or expand on some topics, how can they find you?
For sure. So my Instagram is probably where I'm active on Instagram and Twitter. My Instagram is j.bush with two underscores. And my Twitter is jbush altogether with two underscores right after. Twitter won't let me use a dot. So, anytime anybody wants to reach out, any questions, we can have conversations. Anybody wants to know anything that I can help with or anything I can help you with, please feel free to reach out. I definitely love interacting with coaches. And like I said, me and you are both young. So I definitely don't think I know anywhere as much as I should. Thank God I've been around some great people and have some great resources and mentors that have put me in positions to where I can help other people out. So anything I can do to help anybody else, please let me know.
Good deal. Well, Jordan, I appreciate you, and we'll catch up later. And everybody, we will see you next week. See ya.
Appreciate you, brother. Thank you.